The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 49. Airlines lose one out of every 100 pieces of checked luggage. Better pack light.
One, two, three.
I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, then well, you don't have to worry, 'cause we're going there soon. Then you don't have to worry, 'cause we're going there soon.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. One of the most annoying and frustrating parts of travel is packing. Maybe it's that you're unsure what to pack, and so you spend the day before your trip frantically running around and constantly feeling like you're going to forget something. Or maybe it's that you're a chronic overpacker, and one day into your trip, you're already sick of toting around your way too heavy luggage. Well, fear not, fellow travelers, because today I bring on an extra special guest to present to you the 20 essential items you should always bring with you when you travel. Follow these guidelines, pick up a few or all of these items, and you'll be well on your way to being an expert packer. Here we go. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is the person who finally talked me into getting rid of my duct tape sandals, but who still hasn't talked me into throwing away my tie-dyed Simon & Garfunkel concert t-shirt, my wife, and now three-time podcast guest, Heather Sherry. Heth, thanks for coming on once again to impart your travel wisdom to the listeners of this great show.
It's my pleasure.
Today, we're talking all about travel essentials, the things we always bring with us when we travel, and the things that we recommend anyone, whether total newbies or seasoned travelers, bring with them to make their journeys much more comfortable and enjoyable. Some of these things may be obvious to some of you, some of them may be more obscure, but the main key is that these things are the things that we never leave home without. We've been on the road traveling pretty hardcore for the last 5 years, and we've had plenty of times where we've said, oh my gosh, I can't believe we forgot to bring this. But we've had even more times where we've said, oh wow, I can't believe I'm schlepping this around for the next 2 months. Why did I bring this? So this list is intended to not only help you figure out what to pack, but also what not to pack, because overpacking is much more common than underpacking, and it's definitely much worse to overpack than underpack, and your back will thank you later when you're carrying around less weight. Heather and I have a travel policy nowadays. Heth, enlighten the listeners to how we now travel.
Over the past 5 years, we definitely started out bringing more things, especially myself, staying in maybe not as nice places, but now that we have upgraded slightly to staying in better guest houses or hostels and also some hotels at times, we can definitely pack less things. For example, I don't need to bring a hairdryer because a lot of places will have those amenities.
So now what we do is we only pack in carry-ons no matter what length of trip we're doing. And I know most of you listening are probably saying, yeah, of course, Travis, you only pack on a carry-on. Like, we've seen your picture on the site. No duh. But Heather has also gotten to the point where she's taking, you know, gone from two rolling suitcases basically on any trip we would take to now packing just a carry-on. So how do you do it? What are some of your advice before we get into the things to bring?
When you pack too many things and you're carrying two suitcases or a suitcase and a backpack, you have to wake up in the morning and move to a new city. And the only thing I can think of is, oh my gosh, now I have to sit here and pack and carry all of this to the train station, to the hotel or hostel. It's way too much work and it's overwhelming and it hurts my back or my arm, whatever I'm carrying behind me. So I've definitely gotten it down to either one carry-on backpack or one carry-on suitcase, depending on where we're going. Then I also bring a small tote bag with me for extra things. But there's a few things that you can do in order to cut down. I know it's hard for women, but I try to plan out my outfits in advance. I pack neutral clothes so that I can mix and match all of the things that I'm wearing, tops and bottoms. And another good tip is to definitely roll your clothes because they will fit into your suitcase or backpack a lot easier.
Yeah, and so we both now pack in just a carry-on. If you guys are interested, the bag that I've been using is the Tortuga Backpack. Fred, who's the founder of Tortuga Backpacks, was on the show. We'll link up his podcast in the show notes. We talk about all the tips and tricks we use to pack in just a carry-on. He has some great advice. Also, Tortuga Backpacks will give you a discount, 10% off your next order if you use the code PEANUTS, which is awesome. So Fred has given that to just Extra Pack of Peanut listeners. They actually sold out of all their products within 2 days last time because so many Extra Pack of Peanuts listeners went and started buying the Tortuga backpack. So that was really neat. They do a great job. They're also coming out in the next couple months to half a year with some brand new versions, a Tortuga backpack Air and a Tortuga backpack Day Pack. But that's the backpack that I've been using for the last year, year and a half. Heather also has an Osprey backpack. We use the Osprey Farpoint 70, which is a little bigger technically than a carry-on, but we've been able to use that as a carry-on. So just FYI, if you are planning on just using a carry-on, those are the things we use, the Tortuga backpack, or you can look at Osprey. They have some really good versions there. So without further ado, we are going to get into the 20 essential things that we always pack when we're traveling. And we've broken them up into three different categories: electronics, clothing, and the always specific miscellaneous for stuff that doesn't fit anywhere else. So Heth, why don't you start us off? Electronics, go ahead.
Well, we always bring our laptop, and that's for obvious reasons. We work on the road. We are working on Extra Pack of Peanuts. We're doing podcasts and things like that. So for us, it's necessary to bring a laptop. We choose to have the MacBook Air because it's so lightweight. You hardly even notice it's in your bag. It's perfect for traveling.
Yeah, there's a lot of different computers out there. We recommend the MacBook Air. The 13-inch is definitely a good size. The 11-inch is a little small, so if you're looking for a travel computer, I don't think you can do any better than the MacBook Air. It is a little more expensive than some of the PCs you see out there, but if it's something you need while you're traveling, it's well worth its weight in gold there. The first electronic piece that I'm going to mention is a power strip with multiple outlets, and we happen to use the Monster Outlets to Go power strip. This is essential because a lot of you guys are going to be having, you know, if you're traveling out as a couple or even as a single person, you're going to have multiple things that need to be plugged in. And when you arrive in different countries, a lot of times they don't have outlets all over the place like we have in America, and, you know, five outlets per room. There might only be one outlet. So having a power strip that allows you to plug that in and then have multiple outlets is definitely key. Again, we use the Monster Outlets to Go power strip. We're going to link up all these things in the show notes. So if you're listening and you want to get the exact same item, they'll all be linked there. So you can go click on that. It'll take you to Amazon or wherever, and you can purchase that directly. I will say the Monster Outlets to Go power strip, Heth, as we both know, it has a bright blue light when it's plugged in, which is super annoying when you're trying to go to bed because it keeps you up. So we just put a little piece of duct tape over it to cover it up.
My number two item is a good camera. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So when we travel, one of my favorite things to do is try to capture what we're experiencing through photography. I try to look at an area from all sorts of different perspectives. While this usually takes some time and Trav is usually standing around waiting for me, the end result is having something really exciting to look back on when we're back at home. So we finally splurged on a DSLR. We actually use the Canon Rebel SL1, which is the smallest, most compact DSLR to date, but has all of the same basic features as other DSLRs. We are not professional photographers, but we definitely enjoy finding out new ways to take pictures and experiencing with a better camera. So we absolutely love this camera. Any digital camera is fine, though, and I know a lot of people even use their smartphone or their iPhone, but definitely having something with you to capture what you're experiencing is a must.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, Heth, for sure. We finally splurged on the DSLR. It's awesome. Heather's gotten very good at photography with that, but for many years, we traveled with just our smartphones, and that's actually our number four thing to bring. My number two thing in electronics is a smartphone. Most of you already have these. You can use them to serve 100 different functions on the road, from, like we said, operating as your primary source of photography, to a navigation system, to note-taking, to being a travel guide if you get the right apps. We've written about this before, but if you want to use your phone abroad, it can be much cheaper than you think. You can get SIM cards in local countries, pay about $10 to $15 for about 2 to 3 weeks worth of data and texting, which is way less than you would pay if you went to your provider and said, I'm going to go internationally. Can you give me the rates? You know, they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for that. So getting a local SIM card, it's great. It's also way less than you would pay to rent a GPS from a rental car company. So whenever we do get a rental car, we always use our smartphone. We use an iPhone as a GPS instead of getting one from the rental car company. The next month or two, we're going to switch over to T-Mobile. They have a plan, and I won't tell you too much about this, but you can look it up. $50 a month, you can have unlimited texting and data in over 120 countries in the world, including the U.S. So that's $50 a month. Doesn't matter whether you're in the U.S. or whether you're in one of those other 120 countries, you're going to be able to text and use data on T-Mobile's system. It's a pretty incredible plan. It's great for travelers, saves you a lot of hassle when you're hopping in between countries. So we're going to be writing more about that in the future once we get the plan and try it out. So you might want to check that out if you are someone who travels to a lot of different countries throughout the year.
And next on my list is an e-reader of some sort. We have an iPad, and while it is 4 years old and a little bit heavier than the newer ones, we definitely love bringing that with us. Trav also just recently won a Kindle. So when we travel, we both love to read. And when you're traveling to foreign countries, it's really hard to find books unless you have some type of book exchange at whatever place you're staying. But for me, I really love the convenience of picking out a book, downloading it in less than a minute, and then we can share it on both of our devices. For that downtime that you have either on an airplane, a train, lying on the beach, if you're lucky enough, I really appreciate having our devices.
Yeah, and so we're talking about a lot of electronics. So one thing when you go to other countries you're going to need, and this is now our fifth or our sixth thing on the list, is a travel adapter. I recommend you get a universal one and just stick it in your bag for whenever you go abroad. Don't take it out. We use the TripShell World Travel Adapter because it not only works in 150 different countries, but it also has two USB ports that you can charge your stuff right from your adapter. So if you pair this travel adapter with the power strip, you then have the four outlets on the power strip to plug in whatever you need. And then you also have the two USB ports on the travel adapter itself to charge, you know, your smartphones or your iPads or things like that. So definitely get some sort of travel adapter. Again, we use the TripShell one. Just make sure you don't use it with a hairdryer in the wrong country or you will blow it out like we did in our last trip. I will tell you that it was not me drying my hair. I won't tell you who it exactly was, but definitely get yourself a travel adapter. That's something that you can just leave in your bag and use in any country that you want.
So as far as electronics, that's it for me. Did you have any more, Trav?
Yeah, one more thing that I guess would fall under electronics would be headphones. And whether you have an awesome pair of these Parrot Zeke noise-canceling headphones I've been looking at for like a year and a half now, they run about $350. I've never been able to pull the trigger on them. Or a lot of people have the Bose version, the noise-canceling headphones. You can get them for probably about $200. Or just a simple pair of $10 headphones, which is what I always have. I actually am using now the free ones that I got on like a Jetstar flight from a few years ago. You know, frugality reigns here in this relationship a lot of times. The headphones are a must, even if it's just for the plane. You can put them in, you can listen to music, you can drown out some of the noise of the babies crying next to you or watch a movie or whatever. But don't forget headphones. Always just bring a pair of little headphones with you, even if they're just small crappy ones or if they're really good nice noise canceling ones and you're lucky enough to have them. Bring headphones with you.
Okay, so now we move on to my favorite part, the clothes. First on my list is actually a good rain jacket. On the last trip we took to Europe for 2 months, I did not have a rain jacket. And believe it or not, it rains a lot in Europe in the springtime. So this is an addition to my list. Just being comfortable when it's raining and you know that you have to go out and take pictures or videos and all sorts of stuff walking around for 8 hours to 10 hours a day. To me, it seems overwhelming if I'm not properly prepared and staying warm. So any water-resistant jacket with a hood is a must. Maybe if you're in Europe, you could find a trench coat that has a detachable hood if you want to look a little more put together. But I would recommend if you're going to Southeast Asia, South America, just get any type of easily packable rain jacket that goes into a small size for your carry-on.
Yeah, and if you do find yourself buying $2 ponchos in China, they will rip right away. Just FYI, I was had it out for about 30 minutes and it already had like five holes in it. I was getting soaked. So definitely rain jacket. Great call. Hat. Sticking with the theme of shirts and wearing something on top, I would say that you should always pack one heavier top no matter where you're going. For me, this is usually my LL Bean soft shell fleece. Or just a hooded sweatshirt. I almost always keep this out of my bag and wear it on the plane because it gets cold on there. So even if you're going somewhere tropical and hot, bringing one item that is heavier, you know, if you don't want a soft shell fleece or a heavy hooded sweatshirt, you know, maybe just a lightweight sweatshirt, that'll come in handy on the planes. You also never know when the temperature is going to drop at night. One of the main mistakes that people make is packing too many of these types of items. I'm sure Heather can attest to this. You know, once you start putting in four or five sweaters or four or five sweatshirts, all of a sudden your pack is completely full. So even when I'm traveling somewhere cold, I typically only bring one or two of these items, maybe a nice sweater and then one hooded sweatshirt or a nice sweater and then my soft shell fleece and just wear them every day. You'll find that you can get away with wearing like a heavier top, an outerwear, something like that every day. And it's no big deal, especially if you're not as fashion conscious as your travel companion.
And that brings me to my next item on the list is a lightweight sweater for women to wear. My favorite sweater is a wrap sweater from DKNY. It can actually be worn in 10 different ways. It's very lightweight. So if you're going somewhere warmer, you can still throw it on in the evenings. And if you're going somewhere colder, you can put something on underneath it that adds extra warmth. So it's definitely my favorite thing to wear, especially on the airplane, because it's like a blanket and a sweater all in one. And I think it's pretty fashionable. So it serves two purposes.
All right. We're halfway through the list here. On to number 11. For guys and females alike, this can go both ways. Small, lightweight sneakers. Packing too many shoes, Heather, I think you're going to mention this at some point, is the easiest way to overpack. And sneakers and hiking boots and all that stuff take up a ton of space. What I've done is I've found sneakers that work for almost all occasions. They serve as being great sneakers to wear for outdoor sports like hiking and canyoning. And I wear the Merrell Trail Glove Barefoot Running Shoes. Now, there's a lot of those barefoot running shoes out there. Some people like the Five Finger Vibram shoes. I prefer these because they look more like a regular sneaker, but they're super thin on the bottom. There's not a lot of weight to them. They're actually about half the weight of a normal sneaker, and they also fold up and pack easily, so they're really flexible and bendable. They're also semi-waterproof, so I just wore them to swim in a gorge in Oregon, climb over the rocks, you know, swim in the water, so they served as like a water shoe type thing. And the best part, even though I wear them without socks, they don't usually smell bad. So I would highly recommend small barefoot running shoes as your sneakers, whether you're going with a Merrell Trail Glove barefoot running shoes, whether you're going with those Vibram Five Fingers, or whether you're going with like Vivo Barefoot or something like that.
So I have on my list a category, just proper footwear in general. I'm very notorious for always wearing the wrong shoes for our adventures. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm always posting pictures like that. That's probably because most of our adventures happen spontaneously. I usually start my day out by wearing a cute pair of flats or sandals, and then we always end up climbing to the top of almost anything we find, whether it's a mountain, a karst, doesn't matter. So yeah, my goal on the next couple trips is to wear the proper footwear. Lately, I'm becoming an advocate of that. So for example, when we were in China, I really thought about what we were going to be doing while we were there for 3 weeks. We were going to be in cities like Beijing and Shanghai for just a few days. I didn't bring any fancy shoes. Basically, what I packed for that trip was a pair of flats, a pair of nice Nike sneakers that are more of the old school looking ones, not super athletic. And I packed a pair of flip-flops, and I packed actually my Hunter wellies because I knew that most of the time in China, we would be out trekking through rivers and jungles and all sorts of like adventurous activities. And while some people might bring hiking boots for that, I loved that I had my rain boots because they got pretty muddy and disgusting, and then I could just hose them off at the end of the day. On my wish list right now, actually, Hunter makes a pair of ankle welly boots. So those will be a lot easier to pack. Hopefully I can be getting those before we go to China again.
Sticking with the theme of shoes, and this is an important one because as you said, this is where you can really maximize your packing if you're picking the right shoes. I told you I bring small, lightweight sneakers. Then I also usually bring one pair of loafers or slip-on shoes. I love the Clark's brand slip-on loafers, although they've stopped making the exact style I love, which was called the Clark Furies. If anyone out there works for Clark's or works at a shoe store and you have Clark Furies size 9, I'll buy every pair that you have left. I can't find them anywhere, but they're easy to slip on and off at the airport, so I will usually use these as a shoe that I wear on the plane. I don't want to wear my sneakers. I don't want to have to untie them. So you slip them on and off at the airport, but they're also nice enough that you can wear out for a nice dinner. So that's the kind of nice pair of shoes I wear. They're about a half or a third the size of those regular dress shoes. If you were to pack some sort of regular dress shoes, they pack up nice and tight if need be. So definitely a pair of loafers or slip-on shoes. Again, I like the Clarks, but you can find them. All types of brands make them. I usually use the leather ones because they're nice. If they get wet, they don't really get ruined. So one pair of loafers or slip-on shoes, one pair of those barefoot running sneakers, and then I usually bring a pair of flip-flops or sandals with me. Although if you don't want to pack something, you don't have room for that, you can always pick up really cheap flip-flops anywhere you go. So that might be another option for you.
And to sum it up on the shoe department, I get a lot of people asking me, how do I pack any carry-on? And what I try to do is pack 3 shoes, maybe 4 at the most. So basically 1 flat pair, whether it's a sandal or a flat boot or a pair of actual flats. Then I bring a sneaker so that I can exercise, or if we're hiking, that's definitely an important thing. So we've got a flat shoe, a sneaker, and then a dressier shoe, depending on where you are. If you want something dressy to go out to dinner, if you want a heel, I'd recommend a wedge, because especially if you're in Europe and you're on those cobblestone streets, that's going to be your best bet for a comfortable nightly walk, which we don't usually take taxis. We are walking everywhere on our feet. So I have to think about, what can I walk a couple miles in? And then the 4th one, if I throw it in, is usually a pair of Havaianas for walking to the pool. Or if we have a shower that isn't so nice, I will definitely wear my Havaianas in that.
Yeah, and you can wear Havaianas like Heather does, nice Havaianas that are probably like $20-25, or just get a really, really cheap pair of, like we said, flip-flops, especially if you're going to Thailand or somewhere in Southeast Asia. You can buy those flip-flops for, you know, $1 or $2. So one more thing that I have for clothing here, and this has been an absolute godsend for me, and that is sweat wicking boxers. So you can buy really expensive ones like Ex Officio ones. You see them at all the outdoor stores and camping stores. I just go with a pair of Reebok or Under Armour or Nike boxers. They're really kind of like those compression shorts that you see athletes wear underneath their shorts. They're great because you can wear them in any weather. You don't, obviously they're sweat wicking, so you don't sweat a lot. If need be, you can wash them out in the sink because they dry super quickly. I've even used them in a pinch to use them as some sort of bathing suit. So if I was somewhere that I wanted to swim, I'd have my bathing suit. You know, I strip down. I make sure I get the long enough one so they're not shorty shorts here. And you can wear them to swim in. So definitely sweat wicking boxers. Again, I wear a lot of the Reebok ones. You can pick them up anywhere. Under Armour makes them. Adidas makes them. Nike makes them. But any of those athletic boxers that are made out of that kind of mesh lycra material, they're super, super comfortable, more comfortable than regular underwear as well. So those have been a godsend for me. And they pack up really, really small.
One of my last items under clothing or accessories is a crossbody purse. It's perfect for traveling because I usually keep both of our passports, a small wallet, sunglasses, whatever, in this small crossbody bag. Then it's around my body, so I feel really safe because it's very difficult for someone to steal that if it's across my body. So I usually bring something like that, and then I put it inside either my tote bag or small backpack that I'm carrying on as my personal item for the plane. One of my favorite tote bags is the Madewell Transport Tote. It's beautiful. It's really high quality leather, and it's pretty affordable. I also use my Osprey Day Pack. Depending on the trip, I'll bring a tote bag or I'll bring a small day pack. So my Osprey Day Pack has lots of little pockets, and it's really perfect, especially if we're going somewhere in Southeast Asia and trekking around.
So those are 2 different things then, Heth. Your crossbody purse that you pack, and then your small tote bag or small backpack.
Yes.
Yeah, and with the Osprey Farpoint backpack that I mentioned in the beginning, they have a day pack that comes with it, and that's what we typically use. Even though I use my Tortuga backpack now as my day pack, I bring my Osprey day pack. Although I've been told by Fred from Tortuga Backpacks that they are working on a day pack to go specifically with their pack as well. So that's really great. They're usually about 15 liters. in capacity. You can pack stuff in there and you can take it out for a day trip, hence the name Daypack, and you don't have to carry your big pack around with you. All right, so we are now out of the clothing section here, and we're going to move into the miscellaneous section. So I've got two more things here, Heth. How many do you have? Two as well?
Yes, I have two things.
All right, why don't you start us off then?
My most important miscellaneous travel pieces, and maybe my most important of all, is having earplugs and an eye mask. I know it sounds silly, but it honestly helps me sleep so much better on airplanes. And even, you know, if we're staying in the same house with other people, just whatever. I'm a really light sleeper. If I have earplugs, I feel like I can really sleep through anything. So make sure you have a good pair of earplugs and definitely an eye mask.
And believe it or not, there are a lot of earplugs out there on the market, but getting a good pair, and they're still super cheap, is really beneficial. So you've all probably seen those yellow ones that everyone wears. There are ones that are actually a little better, more comfortable, don't, you know, puff up as much and hurt your ears. So we'll recommend a few of those ones in the show notes as well. But yeah, getting a nice pair of earplugs actually is one thing that I found has helped a lot versus kind of the really, really cheap ones. Also, you can get some pretty nice eye masks. We just used ones that we got a long time ago, but there are some that'll cover more of your face and really keep the light out. We've actually had to use earplugs and eye masks, even at some of the nicest hotels we've stayed at, including the Park Hyatt Vendome. They didn't have really nice curtains, so the light came in at like 6 a.m. So you'll never know when you need them. So don't think, oh, I don't need this because I'm going to be staying just at hotels. You never know who's going to be your next door neighbor or where your hotel room is going to open out. Maybe it opens out to the pool or there's a bar downstairs or something like that. Definitely must have earplugs and eye masks. For me, one of the most important things and the thing that never leaves my backpack, the one thing that never leaves my backpack when I get home is my travel towel. And these are literally 1/8 the size of a regular towel. They dry super quick and they're super absorbent. When I say they're 1/8 the size, I don't mean the length and the width, but they pack up to be 1/8 the size because they're really thin, unlike other towels. There's a bunch of different brands out there, but after trying out a few different ones, we really like the one called the Pack Towel Ultralight Quick Drying Towel. Again, that'll be linked in the show notes. Probably the easiest way to find it is go there. We'll have a direct link to Amazon. You can find it there. I would recommend getting the large or XL version just because you want something big enough that, you know, when you get out of the pool, you get out of the shower, it will dry you off. But we've really, really loved our travel towels. Both of us use them all the time and they come in super handy.
So the last thing on my list is a medicine or first aid kit. This is something that I always prepare in advance according to which countries we're visiting. For example, I always pack Dramamine for motion sickness, Tums for indigestion.
Thanks for the Dramamine, Heth. I always end up using all of it.
Ibuprofen, Excedrin, Neosporin, stomach medicine, also a travel size SPF. Most of these things you can find in other countries in one form or another, but once you're sick, the last thing you want to do is try to find a pharmacy and explain what you need in another language. For example, when I was in Thailand and I happened to crash my bike, I was bleeding in quite a few different places, but in my backpack, I had a bottle of water, I had Neosporin, and I had Band-Aids, so I was able to just quickly fix myself up and move on. So I really like to have that in my bag at all times, and we both benefit from that.
And if you happen to be someone who isn't carrying the right medicines around or you don't have everything you need in your medical kit, I would say don't be afraid to go to the local pharmacies. Even if it's something you don't want to do, maybe you're sick, maybe you sent someone else out to go to local pharmacies. But I know a lot of people always ask me, like, well, when you get sick there, what about the medicine? Is it safe to take? We've found that we've taken medicine in India, we've gotten things in Japan and China. A lot of times the medicine they have over there is better or stronger than what we have here. So we've gotten things in Japan that have cured like plantar fasciitis on our foot, these pads that you, medicine pads that you take off and you put on your foot and they have medicine in them and it seeps into your foot and it's supposed to cure it. And we thought this is never going to work. And there you go. A day later, I was all healed up. So don't be afraid if you have to venture out to the pharmacies and ask some questions and get some medicine, because we found that they're not going to be selling you medicine that's going to make you any sicker. Sometimes it actually is better than the stuff that you're carrying with you. All right, we are at number 20, the last thing, and I would recommend everyone bring a headlamp with them. They are smaller than carrying on a flashlight. They're much more convenient since you have both your hands free. A lot of people think, okay, I'd bring a headlamp if I'm going camping. obviously that would be a great time, but we would bring headlamps no matter what trips you have. You never know when the power is going to go out, like when we were in Koh Lanta in Thailand and the power went out in the place we were staying for a couple hours. It always helps to have a headlamp with you, a battery operated headlamp, so you can just put it on, you know, you can continue going about whatever you're doing. And again, I'd recommend it more than a flashlight because they're going to be a lot smaller, easier to carry, and have a lot less weight to them and free up both your hands. So don't forget, bring a headlamp with you, just throw it in your bag, and that can be something that you could leave in there, you know, for all your travels and never even take out. Well, there you have it, folks. Over 10 years of travel experience and wisdom whittled down to 20 essential items that you should take with you when you travel. Heth, thanks again for coming on the show. Listeners have constantly been asking me when you're coming back on and telling me that your shows were some of their favorites, so I know they've enjoyed it.
It's always a blast.
If you're listening to this show and you're not near a computer but interested in checking out some of the specific products we mentioned, we have them all linked up in the show notes. You can get to the show notes by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/pods. That's P-O-D-S. And then clicking on the link for episode 49. As I said, we'll have everything we've talked about linked there. That'll take you to Amazon or wherever the best price is for you to get these items that we mentioned. Since I've been closing the show for a year and a half now, it's time to change it up a bit. So, Heth, why don't you take it away?
Don't forget, we're looking for enough reviews on iTunes to catch Tim Ferriss, and we really need your help. If you take 1 minute to go leave us a review on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And if you don't know how to leave a review on iTunes, don't worry. We've got you covered. Head on over to extrapackofpeanuts.com/pods and check out our super short video tutorial. Thanks for all the love, everyone. You rock. Until next week, happy free travels!